It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Back in the building.
No doubt.
Yeah, another week.
Word up.
Oh, man, what's good with you? How you been? What you been up to?
Hey, man, I've been good, man. You know, working through it.
You know what I'm saying?
Making sure I'm negotiating, pitching, and proposing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's all it is right now. Negotiating, pitching, and proposing.
I can dig it. I could dig it. You know what I'm saying? That's good energy.
Yeah. Feel like I need Rich Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Shit. Get me the bread.
I could dig it. Yeah, Rich Paul is good. He's that guy. He's a closer, huh?
No doubt.
Do you like pitching?
I like pitching more than proposing.
Really? Why is that? Because is the proposals more like writing a bunch of shit?
Well, proposals, you do a lot of work without getting paid. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, especially when it's like somebody requests a proposal.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Then it's like further explaining the shit that you've already probably explained in a pitch or in a meeting. And and then in my early days of business, all I knew was pitching and proposals.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I was writing proposals like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And wasn't getting no goddamn closings. You know what I'm saying?
Right, okay.
So, but then I started seeing a lot of people using my damn proposal in their business. You know what I'm saying? And not using me. So I was like, damn, these motherfuckers getting all this free game and then not even fucking with me. And so on the last time, I was just like, you know what, man? I ain't proposing nothing else, man. Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
I took my website down. I stopped writing proposals. And then it was something Bevy said. I don't write proposals. I'm like, word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, me neither. You know what I'm saying? Because it was successful for her.
Right.
But she had her own way of doing shit. So I had to develop my own way of doing shit.
Mm.
So I stopped proposing shit, and I just started working. You know what I'm saying? I figured if I worked and I did the work that I was proposing, people would come to me anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't need them to do this work. I don't need them to create the shit that's in my head.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My work is my proposal. So I just started fucking coming up with shit and coming up with people to do the shit with and partnering and collaborating until people could see, oh shit, I won't work like that. And then they would come to you based on some shit that's already in the world, that's already branded you.
Right.
And so I started getting more business that way, and then the business started to roll. But now I'm at a point where I got to get to the next stage, which, you know what I'm saying, isn't easy to just roll into or draw the people necessarily straight to you in the way that you want to. So the first way of starting to test your ideas to see if they're valid or if people will pay for them is to start writing them proposals again. So I got a couple proposals that I need to finish writing.
Mm.
It's just not my favorite thing to do. My time is better spent, you know what I'm saying, out in the world, shaking the hands, talking the talk, doing the work. You know what I'm saying? Doing the work, then drawing people to your phone, talking the talk, walking the walk, and doing the work again.
It's crazy how that works sometimes, too, the way that, like you said, if you just do your own shit, more often than not, people will chase you down to work with you because they see you working.
Right.
Even if you've given them the idea that they could press the button on,
mm-hmm.
that seems a little, I don't want to say harder to do, but that seems a little less likelier than you just doing that shit and then they seeking you out. You know what I mean? Which seems like it's almost counterintuitive. Like, I'm bringing you the idea to your front door. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is the idea. You could do this shit. Sometimes I get some. Who knows? Sometimes maybe they freaked out or they don't got the power. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of variables.
Right. But it's just interesting that people will say, oh, shit. You know what? they out there, like, they rather go out there and seek some shit out. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you respect that kill a little bit more when you had to go out there and chase it, or you've seen the shit doing some shit rather than the shit that was brought to your door, right. Which is just as valid, right. If not even more.
But it's proof of concept, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, I've talked about it here, you know what I'm saying? I talk about it all the time. Basically, a lot of times when you're not pitching at the high level, especially when you're first getting out there, you don't understand. You're just trying to get in the door. Right. So you pitching, you know what I'm saying, mid-level a lot of times. You know what I mean? And when you're pitching mid-level, you know what I'm saying, they got people they got to go pitch it to. Uh-huh. And then where I found my vulnerabilities were in the space of, okay, I'm here, I'm pitching. I ain't got no big established situation or no name behind me or nothing like that. And then I don't have no office on this particular avenue that they could go to or point to and say, oh, yeah, they got the office here. So it's like when I'm taking in this idea, giving it to the person who I'm pitching it to, then they have to go take it to somebody. They have to think, like, okay, what am I taking in here to my boss who just got back from the Hamptons? Came in late on Monday, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I got to walk in his office. He got that brand new Rolex on and tell him I want to give $20,000 to this nigga in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Which today sounds a lot different than it did in 2006, 7, and 8. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like what I call the theory of the $2,000 nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where
it's a $2,000. I thought it was $200.
No, it's $2,000. Okay. It's when your pitch or your proposal exceeds that person's rent. Then it becomes a different kind of conversation.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's true as shit.
So you sitting down with somebody mid level who got to go pitch it to somebody else, right. And this proposal is say $50,000, right?
Yeah,
and then that person on the other side of you or the table starts to think, 50,000. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Shit, it take me motherfucking 6 months to make 50 grand or 8 months or 10 months or whatever the number is. You know what I'm saying? Shit, you know how many months of rent that is? 50 grand?
They making it personal.
No, yo, it's gonna automatic. Yeah. When the number gets uncomfortable, when the number gets above their living expenses, that shit's gonna start going there. Like, you know what I could do with 50 grand? And then
you got the nerve.
Right. Then you got the nerve. And I only found this out because somebody in that position turned around and said, yeah, we'll do it, but you're going to have to pay for this. Then it's like $10,000 worth of shit. And I'm like, why would I do that?
That make no sense.
That don't make no sense. Yeah. First of all, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to do this thing. I'm only doing it because you guys want to do it and you want to sponsor it. But I don't got to do it. I definitely don't want to have to pay motherfucking 15 grand and make no money to do it.
I wonder how often they get that off.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they get it off often because the alternative is, okay, well, if I work with this big company, that'll give me clout. You know what I'm saying? I just do it for the, you know what I'm saying? I do it for this time. And then, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull 10 grand out just to put to some shit. You know what I'm saying? That they actually proposed to me. So then I realized she said out of her mouth, she said, well, I'm not giving you 20 grand or whatever it was. And I'm thinking,
personally,
I'm like, first of all, in my mind, I'm saying, self, why would she think she's giving it to me? In here, you see it's itemized that the food going to cost this, the place going to cost that, the flowers going to cost this, the host going to cost that. Why would she say me? Mm. Because she has internalized this shit. You know what I'm saying? That shit is 10 months of her rent. You know what she could do with 20 grand? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not giving it to this nigga.
Right. I'm not giving it to you. But you know what I got to do with the 20 grand? Yeah. I got to pay 15 for all that shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? Then I got to pay taxes.
Right.
I'm back to broke.
Right.
It's nothing. It's nothing. It was nothing.
This is business. It's a deal.
So you're not giving me shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was pissed. And then I sat down and I thought about it. Like, yo. You know what I'm saying? The people you're pitching to as a business owner are not thinking along the same wavelength as you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Not that you're better or nothing like that. It's just they're thinking about it differently. Because I was thinking, because I had done deals with a lot of these people when I had a job too. When our jobs were doing deals together, it was all good.
Right.
It was like, because they could easily walk in and say, well, we're doing this with this brand. Oh, cool. You know what I'm saying? That's clout for them.
Right.
But now you're out. And you're talking a different level, and you're talking a different set of responsibilities. And when you work, all of that money is just work money, like Monopoly money. But when you as you, that's all that shit is real. You know what I'm saying? And you have to talk with people that's on the same wavelength, which is people who can actually make the decision, who the decision is not going to be personal, it's going to be business.
Right.
Or a young upstart who just trying to make a name for herself by doing some dope shit. You know what I'm saying? So an upstart or a motherfucking owner, boss type motherfucker. People in the middle is going to be cool. If that's your first line of defense, that's cool. Right. But you have to understand the psychology of you being an individual business owner and somebody that's at their job, working their job, had their own life stuff they got to deal with, and then they start looking at your number. And it's not to say you don't do deals with those kind of people, because you're going to have to. It's just understand
it's gonna be tougher.
What they're going through. You know what I'm saying? Because now that I'm older and I understand this better, I don't take it personally no more. So I could look at it like, I understand that this person has these things on the table. So it's my job to make this thing easier to sell to the people they got to go sell it to.
Yeah.
I have to understand how to make them look good in this scenario so that they can be more qualified for their raise, or they can be, you know what I'm saying, get some clout in the boardroom, and they can answer that question and solve that have that solution. I have to give them tools to make them win.
Right.
And that's the most important part to think about when you're in this situation pitching to people on the other side.
Yeah. That's like some Cyrano de Bergerac shit. You know how he had to, you know, put the shit in the hand. They also, there's that that adage that says don't accept no from somebody that can't say yes.
They can't tell you yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you're going to have to deal with those. Going to have to deal with it, because everybody got somebody they answer to in all these equations. Even I got somebody I got to answer to. Shit, you know what I'm saying? So, you come bring this shit, I got to think, is this shit going to fly with my wife? You know what I'm saying? If I take this particular deal, is this going to satisfy the goals?
That's your boss. That's what you got to go speak to.
I got bosses, too. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Woo! Like, you know, this shit got to work for everybody involved. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because if the business go backwards, then the house go backwards. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I can't do that much. I've done that.
Yeah.
I've took all kind of L's on the house.
Yeah.
I don't think my wife set up to take no more of them.
I can dig it.
You know what I'm saying? So
they say nobody win when the family lose.
Right. So when you pitching to me, you got to pitch to me in a way that makes sense.
That was what... Even more, though, that was the thing that I was kind of... You said you prefer pitching more than the proposal. Are you somebody that'll just do, like, a off-the-cuff pitch? Or are you, like, a formal pitch kind of cat? Or is it, like, if you just having a conversation with somebody, like a client, a potential client, you just chopping it up and, the vibes is right, and you just say, yo, you know it'll be dope? Da-da-da-da-da. Will you just fire off ideas like that? Or do you kind of... set up a context where you like, listen, I got some ideas I want to present.
I'm from the wild, so the pitch process can come any old kind of way. And you have to always be open for that opportunity in that moment. You know what I'm saying? But I tell you this, doing this podcast has helped me exponentially in that process. Because when you crack the mic, you're going to have to be there an hour, and you're going to have something to say.
Right.
It ain't no, you can't opt out and be like, you know what, I ain't really got much to say on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to just sit over here and chill.
Right.
You don't have that option. So
I try.
No matter what the fuck you thinking or going through, you got to remove yourself from it and
execute it
and talk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
right.
Open up your mind. And in real life, you don't have to do that. So the exercise of being able to do that puts me in a place where when conversations come up and hard questions are asked, or you're in the meeting and it swivels to something else, or you have to you hear an opportunity where you have an idea that can solve it, it's easy to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm learning every day. Right. I don't do it every day, but I'm learning as I go that shit, this is cool because it's all communication and storytelling. Right. You know what I'm saying? I just had to tell the story of this business product in a way that makes it seem like it could win.
Yeah.
But then when you get around people who really pitch, and you know what I'm saying, who pitch every day, you know what I'm saying? So like working on the show with Will Packer, you could hear pitch in his voice every time he opened his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And enthusiasm. And
right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to make you believe this shit going to work.
Right.
Because shit, you know what I mean? That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You hear pitch all in his voice.
I'm selling this shit.
I'm doing a deal now where I was on the call with this big agency. And the guy who brought me in, who suggested me for the job, he's introducing me on this conference call.
Right.
And you know, usually conference call or mundane, and you know what I'm saying? Hey, how you doing? All right. Then clean, bing, Ali. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
Check in to the conference call. It was like, you know what I'm saying? He was like, hey guys, da 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 da, and woo woo woo, and this is Ali. Ali, meet such and such and such and such. Ali, he's a great friend of mine. I met him, you know what I'm saying, on this tour back in the day, and da 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 da, and he's this and he's that, and he did this and he has a podcast, and da 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 da. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like Ali Muhammad.
He brought you to the stage.
My man on the other end of the call, he was like, hey man, you should be a late night show host.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because he brought that whole shit.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? He made them really feel like Ali Muhammad was walking in the room.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know this is worth your time. This is
exactly.
a moment.
Yeah. And I learned a very important lesson in that whole conference call, because they all talked in that manner. Like they all had
right.
this particular energy. Right. And I'm so removed from the corporate setting.
Right.
And I never really worked with a like talent agency yeah. or talent agent.
Yeah.
So listening to these motherfuckers go back and forth in this thing, I was like, yo, I gotta up my motherfucking energy.
My, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. it made the whole shit feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody really questioned if I could do this or
Absolutely.
Not. You know what I'm saying? Nobody yeah. really was like, you know, I don't know about this guy.
Right.
Where's his office?
Right.
No one really questioned that shit.
Yeah.
I'm home in my drawers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. But you was legitimate as fuck.
I'm legit. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wasn't really in my drawers, but that's the sentiment.
Is, you know what I'm saying? Is, man.
That's the sentiment.
That's the freedom that you have for working by yourself.
So
for yourself.
So in that, I learned that you have to keep that. You have to bring that showtime with you. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm a laid back dude, so I don't really get all into all that. But you have to respect people that do. Like,
yeah.
you know, your Will Packers, your Kenny
right.
Burns, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like, they bring showtime.
The sauce.
Just like, hey,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? You ain't going to never question if or not they're going to bring the energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But motherfuckers see me coming, they be like, I don't know if he might be on his cool shit today.
Right.
Motherfucker actually had the nerve to call me Stoic one time.
Had the nerve to call
like
me
stoic.
I feel like stoic is a honorable adjective though, but I mean,
but still,
it ain't live.
God damn,
yeah.
I might not be the livest nigga, but God damn, sure ain't stoic.
That's some old Marcus Garvey type
but
shit.
But that's some real guarded shit though.
Right.
It's like when you're being guarded in
right.
your presentation. And you're trying to play it cool, and you're trying, you know what I'm saying?
Sky open.
You're trying not yeah. to look silly, and you know what I'm saying? You're not taking no risk.
You playing defense. You playing defense.
You playing defense
yeah.
on your own offense.
Yeah.
And that ain't cool.
Nah, it's not. And you, yeah, but it take a while to get used to that shit. It take a while to get used to that shit. Yeah, you got to get over it. It's funny. I remember being in a writer's room one time, and it was this one cat. I wish I remembered his name. He might have been a comic, but I never really seen him on the like on the circuit. But he was like, he wrote comedy, and we were at like a, you know, we just in the writer's room pitching jokes, and my man would pitch joke after joke after joke, and if them shits like with the same energy as if they hit or if they bomb, and some of them shits was bombing at the table.
Right.
Because what happens that, like, you know, especially like in a room like that, especially if everybody don't know everybody.
Well, let the people know what a writer's room is.
So a writer's room is a room where, depending on what type of project you're working on, if it's, you know, TV or if it's whatever, it's just a collection of, you know, minds that come together for the purpose. In this case, it's for some comedy shit. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? It's like, okay, I think we were working on a show, and it was, you know, they might have needed some monologue jokes up front. So monologue jokes are just like,
that's just jokes that are straight to camera, just boom, mm-hmm. boom. They could be topical in nature. They could be, you know what I mean? But they're like typically like real quick one-liners, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But there's a good barrage of them, and mm-hmm. it has a rhythm to it, and you know what I mean?
Right.
And so those jokes get pitched, and those get put into a document, you know what I mean? And they become part of a script or whatever, right? So sometimes you might have the certain talent in the room that you're writing for, which could kind of be awkward if you don't have any real connection to that person, or if you don't really you don't know their voice. But sometimes it's cool because if they're assertive enough, they can speak to their shit. You know what I mean? This right. type of person I am, da 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 da, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or at least it'd be like, I don't know if I would say that. I'd probably say it like this, or I don't know what you. I don't even know that reference. Mm-hmm. That type of shit, because that kind of helps a little bit. Sometimes it don't. If they're there, they're not. But anyway. They pitching. People are throwing jokes out. Well, we got a joke for this. We got a joke for that. And oftentimes in the room, like I said, if these people, if you are meeting for the first time, there could be, back to what you were saying, it could be more defensive movement than open. It mm-hmm. gets open as it goes along, just like anything else when you right. first start to meet people. So a lot of people are like, ooh, nigga, I don't want to. If I'm gonna throw out a joke, I need it to be fire. It's like it's like passing the aux cord, basically.
Right.
You know what I mean? We playing beats in here. So, but there was this one cat. He would throw some joints out there, and some of them shits would be like, wow. Others would be like, damn, son, that's what you went with. But the fucking enthusiasm that he had from each one. I was with it. It was shoot or shoot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was just like, fuck it. Boom. You know? Oh, damn. All right. That was an air ball. Oh, that shit clanked off the rim. But you know what? Here come, boom. That shit wet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. His shit. Because typically, sometimes you can see people. You can see, and it goes in. Some people feel like they heating up. Right. They might engage a little bit more when they get hot. And then right. they throw a dud out. They might step back for a little few rounds. Like they get meek. Yeah, they fall back. Then they want to do the piggyback. You know, right. the piggyback on that right, instead right, of right. just throw their own shit out. But yeah, man.
The piggyback.
The piggy. You know, the piggyback.
That's a whole skit on corporate culture.
Word, man.
The piggy. To piggyback on what he said.
And to piggyback on what he just said about what he just piggybacked off of.
That's a whole shit.
Y'all know the piggyback.
The piggyback. Yeah. It's all these boardroom motherfuckers.
Yeah. Lingo. The newest buzzwords and shit. That
buzzword, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the motherfucker who fade back into oblivion.
Oh, just not even.
Don't ask me shit. I ain't gonna say shit. I'm gonna play invisible here. And
right.
Be on my phone. Check some emails.
Yeah. Oh man. Shit, man. Speaking of shooting shots, did you see the All-Star? Did you see any of these All-Star game festivities?
Yeah, I saw some of it. You know what I'm saying? Dunk contest. You know what I'm saying? Like a little. You know, I follow the social stuff because, you know, I'm typically there doing shit. So I was just monitoring what was happening and what was going on, who was doing what, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, the side shows be just as important as the main show.
Yeah.
So, you know, I watched a little bit of that. Interesting shit, I saw, you know, Damian Lillard rapping and shit, like opening up for – was it the game or one of the side games? He was opening up.
Really? He did a set?
Yeah, he did a set.
He can spit, though.
He can spit.
Yeah.
But he
can't perform.
He's stiff as a performer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's tough. It's tough to master athletic performance mobility and loose goose rapper cool nigga mobility. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes.
Because I haven't seen it done. I haven't seen an athlete master the cool, whimsical, free flowing, physical mobility of like a cool rapper.
I've seen, and I guess, you know, if we're going to, I guess because it's the heights. Because if
not
I'm
even
think,
the height, because he Damian Lillard, no, not
I'm
not that even tall.
I'm not talking about the actual height. I'm just talking about the heights of the level that they perform on. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen cats, like back in the day, like in high school, you might see a cat that could play ball and he could rap. You know what I'm saying? But he ain't going to the league and he ain't getting a dip, but he could kind of, you know what I'm saying? He could kind of be a hybrid.
I'm talking about a professional athlete. Right.
And it's got to be tough also, like, you at, because this is still looked at to pretty much 95% of anybody that's probably a Damian Lillard fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's his side shit. Even if he's dope.
I mean, he on that talking about how his set was about how rich he was in real life. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got, because the thing is, well, that's what I was going to say. That's the go-to, especially if you might be feeling vulnerable out there. Right. You got to go. You got to shit. You got to grab your dick. But my thing is, you at the All-Star game for being dope at your basketball shit amongst all your peers. Mm-hmm. That are dope at this basketball shit, and it's like some hidden talent type shit where you like, all right, well, I got all y'all niggas who I respect. Y'all are my motherfuckers, and I'm going to perform to y'all niggas now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be something. It's got to be weird, especially at that level. Not to say, but I will say this. If there was ever outside of Shaq, because I think – Shaq was just such a fucking...
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck. Like, his presence was just his presence,
His
period.
Presence was just his presence. So everything that he did was different because he was just a big
And then he bigger than everybody everywhere.
So it's always going to look different. But beyond Shaq, and I don't even know if he's going to get further than Shaq, because Shaq, you know, and
they had the beef. They had the beef.
Yeah, and Shaq didn't really
lose.
Yeah, it wasn't decisive. It just got tired.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just like, all right, how many records y'all niggas gonna go back and forth? This shit is ridiculous. Nobody's really airing the other one out. Damian, you spit better than Shaq, but Shaq is funnier than you.
Right.
And you're gonna say some slick shit. He might choose a better beat.
Right.
But this is the thing. Maybe if he get that performance shit go, because skills wise. This is the most evolved we've ever seen
an athlete,
an NBA rapper,
right? No doubt.
He better than
he can really rap. He really been doing this. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He really been doing this shit. It's just it's like the thing about athletes, their time and their schedule and their itinerary is so tight from the time you're a kid. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't really have real social time. When you're a talented athlete,
you got a schedule.
You got a fucking schedule, itinerary. You're here, you're there. It's travel, AAU.
Especially if you're good.
If you're good, you have your folk, everything. That's why niggas getting hurt so fast in the NBA because they've been already putting miles on their body from AAU, right?
Yeah.
So you don't really have time to just practice your stance and your walk because your walk and your stance is going to be counterproductive to your form. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So your physical shooting form and the shit you had to keep your body under control and body control to make the ball go in is totally counterintuitive to...
It's a different type of muscle memory.
Yeah, just you know what I'm saying? Being getting your cool walk together and your swag shit and your...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That shit is just like flowy and moving all over. Like Snoop Dogg and shit and Method Man when he rapping.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That shit you got to make up in the mirror and you know what I'm saying?
you got to rehearse that?
Yeah, you got to take time to get your cool shit together. How you going to wear your shit? As an athlete, you ain't got time to be... Think about that shit, cause you put on your motherfucking gym shit.
I don't know about that.
I bet even I never seen Allen Iverson rap. I heard the shit; it wasn't that good.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? But Allen Iverson probably would be the closest one that could probably get it off.
Right.
But I never.
It's tough.
I'm sure Allen Iverson didn't even look right doing it.
Yeah, he probably didn't. I mean, it's also because. Your frame of reference is still him as a rapper, so it's such a leap. But what I'm saying is, like how you saying, there's cats that don't, that they spent so much time on their physical
form
and all of that shit. But at the same time, there's also that other layer of cats that spend that time on their form, and then they gonna spend their time on their little finish, their little signature, like. The way, especially some of these guards, the way they go, like, you know, and they going to cross you, they going to make that shit look buttery.
No doubt.
And
but
that's extra.
But that's different than what a rap nigga got to do.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think there's somebody, maybe it's not this cat, but there's going to be somebody that's conscious enough to know how to throw that little extra.
I ain't seen it yet.
Yes.
Yeah, we ain't seen it yet. This nigga's been trying to rap since the 90s.
Yeah.
So it's just like athletes are different in the real world. Like what Jordan had to do to make that shit look beautiful and majestic on the court, he damn sure can't do it in real life.
What you mean?
When you see Jordan in real life, he do not look cool as he did on the motherfucking court. Nah. Even when he was cool on the court. You know what I'm saying? In his day.
Yeah, not too many of them.
You know what I'm saying?
Dr. J come across cool, though. He felt
Dr. J looked cool. Actually, in real life, LeBron carries himself cool as motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, but I couldn't see LeBron rapping, though. As a rapper, the cool that you had to have to be a rapper.
Yeah, but he about 6'9".
Yeah, he taller than a motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's taller, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's tough because there's no context for either sides of these shit still. Still the beta. Because it ain't really been a whole lot of 6'9 rapping motherfuckers that don't play basketball.
But I'm saying, like Lillard ain't 6'9".
No, I know.
It's just it looks stiff in rap world measures.
Yeah.
But in basketball measures, that shit, you have to be that way. Right. Like you kind of have to have this type of control.
Right.
Of your body that rappers don't have to have.
Right.
Rappers just let that shit just be all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Especially when, even with rappers, like, you see it adjust. You see their early shows where it's a little bit more tight.
Right.
And then certain rappers, when they find their little go-to moves.
Right.
That becomes their signature through their little go-to. You know, certain rappers got their little shits. Anyway, man.
Yeah, but you know. But yeah, so I saw,
he cracked it open.
I saw Damian. I don't think it was the All Star game. I think it was like one of the like dunk
skills
one
and
them,
all that shit.
Yeah, one of them shits. Yeah. But he did his thing. The song was dope. I like the song. You know what I'm saying? It's just he got to work on that presentation.
Yeah,
he looked like an opening act. You know what I mean?
Right.
And which of course he'll get better with time and more practice and shit. But it was also dope that a motherfucker that's at the top of the NBA game was able to step back and get out of his real comfort zone and perform amongst his peers in some shit that he want to do.
Right.
Like, you don't usually be able to get to do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It seems like they be looking out for the players and shit like that. Man, set the tone.
Yeah.
And it looked like it's real cool and inclusive and all that. But to that point, the fact that he even did all of that makes me not say root for him, but makes me like, I'm not going to write it off just yet. Because this nigga, he might, just like with anything else, he might fully develop.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially the more he putting himself out there, like, because everybody's seeing, oh, he's serious about this shit. I'm sure other rap people are like probably picking his phone up. I think I saw a photo with him. I think it was Pusha T.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they did a record together.
They had an in-store together.
Okay.
Actually, Kiana from Fan U, KJ Rose, she hosted it.
Okay.
She actually, it's a video that she put up that she actually did. Supposed to be, I guess, freestyle battling.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? It was
Shout out to Kiana.
It was in jest.
A hell of a singer.
You know what I'm saying? It was in jest, but you know what I'm saying? It was fun. I didn't know she had it. Then her brother did his little thing. And you know what I'm saying?
She could spit?
She was, it's like the jokey, you ain't think I could do this type of shit. Okay,
the misdirection.
Yeah, the misdirection. I'm cute. I'm the host. You know what I'm saying? I sing. You know what I'm saying?
Who knew
Kiana could drop a freestyle? Right. But Kiana just always been a fun time person.
That's what's up.
Like, that type of shit is her type of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even from, I knew her from Fan U.
Right.
And just singing and just doing her motherfucking shit is what she do.
Right.
So she's been on the upswing. She trained, performance trained Lil Nas X.
Okay.
Like, she's been doing training for a minute, but Lil Nas X was a breakout.
Yeah.
And, you know, they won the Grammy for Best Video Performance this year.
For Old Town Road?
Well, I don't know if it was Old Town. Okay. Or, I guess it was Old Town.
Okay.
Or the other one. What's the other
Panini?
One? Tsunami? Panini.
Panini.
Either
I never
one.
Seen that, but I know Old Town Road had all of the, you know, Chris Rockin' and Jay and Ha Ha Davis and all that.
Either one, they won the Grammy for Best Video Performance. So
that's what's up.
So, you know what I'm saying? Kiki got a Grammy.
There you go.
That's what's up.
That's big.
Shout out to Fan U, Chicago.
Yeah.
So speaking of Chicago, All-Star was in Chicago.
Yep.
See, you know what I'm saying? Out of all, no, I can't say out of all the cities, but I have this I'm looking at Chicago and what they're doing culturally on the ground. And when the city come to, when the NBA All-Star came to the city, it was like a lot of cats on the ground got to participate.
Right.
At a high level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, then it got to really showcase the amount of talent and culture that's coming out of that place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially in sneaker, fashion, art. You know what I'm saying? It's like more well-rounded than a lot of places. Like sometimes cities, you got a lot of artists from a city. You know, like musical artists. Like rappers, you know, singers and shit, producers. And then, but like in Chicago, you got, you know what I'm saying, a lot of niggas that participated that was visual artists. Like Hebrew did a collab with Wilson, basketballs and shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying, you got the cat who owned the sneaker store that did the collab with Nike for
Don
the
release.
Not Don C, one of the other cats, Joe Fresh or something like that.
Okay, you know Joe, okay, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Joe Fresh.
Joe Fresh Goods.
Yeah, he Joe Fresh Goods. He had a drop. You know what I'm saying? So it was like you could see the amount of talent that's doing shit on a national, global level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Coming out of that city, which, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times when these big events come, they go, and then the, like the local talent don't really get to be immersed in the system.
Right.
It speaks to what's going on in Chicago and the renaissance that they're having right now.
Right.
That they were able to have so many guys that not only were doing products and collabs, but that was actually, you know what I'm saying, producing the things for the brands, the events and the activations, like, they the home of that shit. You know what I'm saying?
No, they,
and it looked like it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when it go to other cities, it looked like the NBA come in.
Dwarf it.
National promoters come in, and then they leave the fuck out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It didn't look like that. In Chicago, it looked like the Chicago niggas had that shit held down, and they was good.
They curated it.
They curated their city.
Yeah.
And that don't usually get to happen, so big props to Chicago.
Yeah, shout out to Chicago. I think they've been on some, I mean, for years and years, but definitely as of late, they know how to curate what goes on in their city, especially like culturally. And then, you know, outside, you know, on top of that, they have a huge basketball history. You know what I mean?
So I that mean, shit, the GOAT is from the city. Yeah, you know, right, not from the city, but
he's, you know,
he represented.
He got a big ass statue out there, you know, and then even just, shit, all the other shit that they got going on. So that, yeah, that was ill. Speaking of which, on like some activation shit, I saw, did you see Kanye giving out his sneakers? Did you see what he
at
did?
At the game?
Nah, oh, he was doing some shit. He had these tanks.
Oh, wow.
Going through, shits was wild. It looked like some old Elon Musk type shit.
Right.
He had these wild looking, I wouldn't be surprised if they were some Elon Musk looking tanks. They all through Chicago. And they got the new basketball sneaker, the Quantum.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving them shits out, but you got to take the shoes off your feet and swap out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shutting certain motherfuckers down.
So somebody, you came in fresh, you like,
yeah. Couple motherfuckers, there's one motherfucker, he had some Air Force Ones that was leaning, and they was like, no, sir. Which is embarrassing.
But they ain't let him trade them?
That's what the story is. I don't know. Let me not even say that. What's the word?
Accurate.
But that wasn't the word, but yeah, that's the meaning.
It might not be truth.
It might not be true. It might just be some
fake news. Might be fake news.
Yeah, some internet bullshit. But you just swap out your kicks and they throw you these Yeezy Quantums. I thought that shit was kind of cool, just how the rollout was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Shit. Then fucking Don C did did a sneaker for Nike that came out. Mm-hmm. Then obviously Virgil put out the five.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Chicago on fire, man.
They killing it right now.
And you know, you got to give it, I love to see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I never spent much time there. You know what I mean?
I like that city a lot.
I work with a lot of agencies there. I get a lot of money from Chicago.
Yeah.
But on the ground, when you do go through there, you could feel it. And don't get a lot of props, and they don't get a lot of the fanfare that some other places get. You know what I'm saying? New York, L.A., you know what I'm saying? Even Atlanta.
Right.
Atlanta get a lot of fanfare about the shit that they do because they have a lot of music presence, you know what I'm saying, which travels far.
Right.
But we're around it as a cultural community. They got it popping, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see it feels like it's a lot. And not even just with the NBA, but from the shit that I see, it feels like there's a, it's a real participation city. Like, right. there's a city, but it's a city that makes itself available to the locals there to utilize that shit. Like, there's a lot of like little programs and stuff like that where, you know, you could go, like, you know, if you want to rap, there's studios that are, you know, in high schools and shit like right. that have like these programs that are accessible for anybody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they really, there's a lot, a big push on the arts. There's a big push on like entrepreneurship and, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, so salute to Chicago, man. It's good to see that. Good to see them get some shine. I initially, when I thought about it, I was like, I know it's going to be cold as fuck out
it
there.
It was 1 degrees, dog.
Yeah, but I heard the other days wasn't too bad. I mean, it was cold too, but after it'd be one, if it's 30, that shit feel like 97.
Yeah, like summer.
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of the, one, I had shows, but then two, you know, since I cut the cord, this is one of the few times since I cut the cord where I feel disconnected from what's popping. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like, when that all-star, especially the dunks, you know what I mean, all of that shit start coming down your timeline and you can't access it in the moment. You got to wait for the fucking Twitter video to show up.
Yeah, man.
Niggas getting robbed. You know what I'm saying?
They, that's what they say?
Yeah, they said some people feel like, a lot of people feel like, especially in the moment, I don't know if people are walking it back, but lot of people feel like Aaron Goodman got robbed.
Yeah, because they felt like he got robbed last year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's 2 years in a row.
I don't think he got robbed.
I don't, I didn't see, again, I didn't see it, but I'm going to just see from what I seen on Twitter. I only seen one dunk from the other kid, Derek, that like, this is just from what I seen as a cord cutter, what made it to the timeline. I seen the one dunk, it was kind of ill. It was like a reverse.
Yeah.
It was like a reverse tornado. That shit was fire.
That shit was fire.
That shit was fire. Then I saw the Aaron Goodman shit where off the backboard the
one was fire.
That shit was bananas.
That shit was bananas.
And then I saw when he jumped over, what's the
Taco.
I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm tired of all of that jumping over. But the shit ain't that, I mean,
but but see, the thing is, why I, you know, the other cat did a jump over two people with through the legs, that was dope. But
I didn't see that.
The one on with Taco, he ain't even make it over his
head. He ain't clear the nigga. He definitely put balls on his neck.
He ain't clear the nigga, man. So you, how you going? You can't give him the perfect score. He ain't clear the nigga, man.
I agree with that.
On the back of his head, and Taco was bending down. Like, it was probably almost impossible to jump over the nigga, so you just had him there for visual effect.
Right.
But, dog.
Yeah.
You ain't clear.
It's my thing. Is it okay, so what I thought, what I saw in the thing, it seemed like he just did that out the blue. That was some real improv shit. So he get a little bit of credit for the fact, like, he just looked at, from what they were saying, he just looked in the arena. It was like, who the tallest nigga in here?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. That wasn't, you think it was like already
Taco
worked
was dressed
out?
For the moment.
Okay. All
right. But you know what I'm saying? You're not going to set your whole dunk contest on just let me see if Taco going to participate with me.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it wasn't even Taco. Like, it was just whoever's going to be tall in here. Then, if it's going to be Shaq, it's going
to
be.
But you still got to get the tall nigga to agree.
Right.
To which get is, nuts on the back of his
which
neck.
Which has got to be a weird conversation. Just
hey,
just,
Taco. I know you're new in the league. You know what I'm saying? Hey, would you like to participate with me?
Slap my balls against the back of your neck. It's just also, you're a fucking tall ass prop. You know what I mean? I don't know. Did Taco get any minutes in any of the functions outside of just?
No, he didn't make the All-Star. I mean, but see, the thing is, because he's not really, he don't really play that much. But the internet voted the nigga, they damn near voted him in.
Just to get dunked over?
No, they damn near voted him in the All-Star game because he's popular. And everybody's rooting for the nigga.
Just
because
he's tall?
Because he's the tallest motherfucker. He already had a rabid fan base from college.
Where was he? Where he go to school
like,
at?
Central Florida, some shit.
Okay,
like that. But I mean, this nigga is the tallest motherfucker ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just standing up. So you know, once you get the college kids behind you, and he got a base. Like, they had to bring this nigga up from the G League because the fans was like, Nick Taco.
He's the people's champion.
Yeah, he's a people's champ. They love him. You know what I'm saying?
How tall is he?
Like 7'4" or something.
Because Shaq is what, 7'4"?
7'1".
Okay, because I saw he dwarfed Shaq.
Not dwarf,
but he made Shaq look
like
a regular motherfucker, which don't never happen.
Right.
Oh man.
But he's the people's champ. Like Boston, they love him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like they kind of be chanting for him to get in the game, and the coach be like, ah damn. You know what I'm saying? We trying to get to the motherfucking playoffs.
Right.
We ain't got time.
This ain't it's a gimmick.
We not playing time to be developing a nigga.
You know what I'm saying? Is he not that good?
It's not that he's not that good. He's just not already ready for prime time yet.
Yeah, okay.
He a rookie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He still got development things that he need to do.
Yeah.
He's in a good place because the fans do love him. And,
okay.
And motherfucking teams love fans in the seats.
Yeah.
So motherfuckers love selling jerseys.
Right.
So
Taco.
You know what I'm saying? Nigga got a great name.
Right.
Taco.
Yeah. What's his last name?
Taco Fields. Taco okay. Fields or right. something like that. Field.
Taco. That's hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? It might be taco, but everybody say taco.
Disrespect.
No, not disrespect, because I don't really know what it is. I'm just saying. It's T-A-C-K.
Oh. They don't really want to get to know it. They just
nah,
it,
that's just a good shit. Once they better. Give you a name, they give you a name. It's like
Toby.
It's like the Greek freak. You know what I'm saying? He might be from Greece, but he's really Nigerian.
Yeah, but he grew up in Greece.
Right, but he's Nigerian. I'm sure he don't like to be called Greek and a freak.
No, I think he's down with that. I don't know. I think I saw some shit where he was it.
He might be, but the internet ain't for it. Anyway, the African contingency of the internet.
Yeah, they might not fuck with that.
They not. That's what I
that's
got.
That's appropriation.
I didn't even know he was Nigerian. It was like, they need to stop calling him Greek freak. He's Nigerian.
Right. I can understand.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. I heard he was getting busy.
Yeah, he gets busy.
Yeah, man. So I missed all of that.
Fuck all that. I fuck with my man, Ja Morant.
What, him going back and forth with Steph Curry?
Nah, just in general.
He got busy?
Nah, he wasn't in the All-Star game.
What you mean? What you fuck with him about?
Just as a player.
Oh, you just wanted to shout him out?
Yeah, I just wanted to shout him out.
Oh, okay. You know, not for nothing related.
Ja Morant out here getting busy. This nigga motherfucker wild, man.
What's he
like,
doing?
He like Iverson. He like a... Like the same kind of energy Iverson brought.
Okay.
That's what he doing now.
Okay.
This nigga, he might be 6'4", maybe 6'3", some right. shit. He dunking on niggas. He doing all kind of shit.
You know what I'm saying? Going for it.
He going all the way for it.
I got to see this cat.
He from the same spot where Zion from. They played on the same AU team.
Okay.
So in the Rising Stars game, you know what I'm saying? Everybody was happy to see them. Right. Like
didn't he throw him an alley?
He threw a few alleys. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He threw an alley through the legs. You know what I'm saying? So
what you think of Zion?
I think Zion's a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He getting busy.
I think he hasn't played long yet because he had the injury.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's doing. He's like big as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Look strong as fuck.
Yeah, he look like
he act strong as fuck.
Yeah.
But then he fast as fuck.
Yeah.
Could jump high as fuck.
He confusing as fuck.
It's what you gonna do with him.
Living misdirection.
What are you gonna do with him? Yeah. Motherfucker could still dribble and still do all that guard shit. But he gonna jump out the building and dunk that shit and oh man.
His jumper's funny looking.
But it's
wet, but it's the funniest look because it's like he don't jump that high for a nigga that could jump like that. When he do his little jumper, it's a hilarious.
It ain't ugly as his teammate
Stout
was ball. You know what I'm saying?
Alonzo
Ball, his jumper look fucked up.
Well, yeah,
I think he fixed it a little bit this year.
It going in or?
I ain't really watched much of him. I'm only watching Zion, really.
Oh, wow.
That nigga got a new hairdo, though.
Oh, do it? What's the latest?
He got the... Who got the hairdo that made everybody?
Lil Yachty?
Not Lil Yachty. He got the motherfucking... what's my man name? Travis Scott.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Pop Smoke. All these niggas got that same MC8 shit.
Right. That's funny.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Lonzo.
He out here.
Lonzo trying to look like a Lonzo for real.
Oh, that's Lonzo. I thought you said Zion had that
No,
shit.
No, Lonzo. Zion got the same shit. He had a little high top with little cuts on the side.
Right. Like real, he remind me with that, like, what's my man's name? Grandmama. Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
Got a little Larry Johnson energy with him.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? I think he out there getting busy, man.
Yeah.
I just watched this video of Shaq in his rookie year.
Uh-huh.
Like going back and forth with Jordan and shit. And Shaq, I didn't realize how dominating Shaq was, even though you knew it, but just to watch it when he young and still slim and shit.
Yeah, he's like Godzilla.
But Zion looked bigger than, way bigger than what he looked like, because Shaq was still kind of slim with
right.
it. Zion is all swole up.
Yeah.
Like a big old man child.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, nah, yeah. That's like a, that's definitely an offensive foul coming. He's dropping you.
Yeah, he dropped.
Don't jump with him.
I mean, you could take it, but woo, I wouldn't advise it.
I saw somebody get banged on just I can't remember who it was. And it was like, it was a statement too. Like, ah, who was somebody just, they, damn, it was ugly too. Like, I forget who it was. It might have been your man, John Morant.
John Morant, wild, man. Yeah. He, you know what I'm saying? He wild to the point where you be like, damn, dog, you might hurt yourself. But then you realize he young as fuck. And right. don't give
be
a fuck. All
right, yeah.
And he be flying from wherever. Nigga tried to dunk on Kevin Love. Like, down there from the free throw line. Like, Kevin Love's just standing there with his hands. Kevin Love's 7 feet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. John Morant coming through the lane like, ah, he ain't make it.
Uh-huh. But he was going for it.
He tried it, though. Like, what's wrong with you?
The size of this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming back. It's
like,
going to happen.
Like, what's wrong with
it's
you,
gonna
man?
It's going to happen.
You got to calm down. Yeah. Man, that motherfucker, wow. But yeah. he just play in a city where you don't get to see that shit often.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've been fucking with Narcos came back.
Yeah, I thought I was too.
Yeah. What happened?
I see Narcos on the Netflix shit, right? You know what I'm saying? New Narcos. I'm like, oh shit, Narcos is back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm grabbing a little Apple TV remote.
Right.
Clickety click, click, click. Click on the shit. Shit, come on. Narcos and shit.
Right.
Watching the shit. And I'm like, damn, they must be doing a flashback, or they must be going back in time a little bit, because I'm feeling like I saw some of this shit.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't remember it.
Right.
But I'm feeling like I saw it, like deja vu.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going with it. Get through a whole fucking episode. The next episode come on. I'm like, wait a minute. I think I seen this. My wife come in. She like, oh, I seen this part before. And I'm thinking I'm watching some new shit. She was like, what you watching? I'm watching some new Narcos and shit.
Right, brand new.
Then she sit down. She's like, it seems like I seen this. I'm like, yeah, I think they're doing a flashback.
This shit redundant than a motherfucker.
And then after she said it, I started second guessing myself.
Uh-huh.
So I hit the Google on the slide on my phone. Uh-huh. Like, episode 2, Narcos Mexico season 2. And it wasn't the shit I was watching.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm watching some old ass shit. But I had promised the motherfucking remote to my wife after this episode. So now I done wasted 2 episodes watching some old shit.
Some reruns.
You know what I'm saying? Trying, I guess, catching up.
That's what happened, though. Because what was it, about 8 months ago when that shit went off? That's the thing with these Netflix shows. You could easily do that.
Yeah, because you're watching the whole shit in one weekend. I watched the last season.
Right.
Like, in 3 days.
Right. And you know, and I don't remember almost all of the little things. That's hilarious though that you got caught. That's funny as shit. I didn't get caught like that, but I got caught when they, you know, when you start watching season 2, they do a whole like 3-minute recap video of season 1 just to get you up to speed. And I'm bullshitting, you know, most of these shows you be forgetting. Narcos is what trained me for Parasite. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you gotta get your shit together.
Right.
You gotta get your reading on, because what happens with me and Narcos initially is I fuck around and miss 3 scenes because I'm trying to do too much. I'm on the computer or whatever the fuck. And then you 3 scenes away, you don't know what the fuck happened because you can't hear what's going on. I don't speak Spanish to where I knew what was going on. So I'm running shit back. But initially, that little 3-minute catch up, I'm halfway watching, but they're not watching. I'm thinking, I'm going to run it back. When that shit was gone, You can't even find it. I had to go online. I had to go find it on YouTube.
To get what?
The little 3-minute, like, yo, from last season. You know, the recap.
Yeah.
They give you the little, it's like a pre-roll they put on that shit.
Oh, they take those away?
You can't even find that shit. Nigga, I couldn't find it nowhere on the thing. I looked through the episodes, looked through the little trailers.
They don't do the shit when the new season start?
They do it one time.
Okay.
And if your ass, if you ain't locked in, you fucked up.
You fucked up.
So I went to rewind for the shit. This shit was nowhere to be seen. I had to go find the shit on YouTube just to get back with it. But
I should have did that.
Yeah,
I should have been looking for that. I just, you know, that shit be fuck you up because they had a new shit up there, and when you click it, it go to some old shit.
Yeah, that's whack.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, get your system together, Netflix.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll take the L. So I ain't get to start.
So, but you at least you got something to look forward.
But
to.
I was excited though. I thought I was good. I'm settled all settled back into my seat.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching some new shit.
Yeah,
old ass shit.
Hilarious. I'm curious to think what you think of the season, man.
You watch, how much you watch?
I'm probably about 7 episodes in, maybe.
I'm gonna start that shit tonight.
Yeah, I'm deep in there. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, I had to turn the damn remote over to my wife so she could finish watching The Pope.
What's that about? Who's in that?
I don't know.
I mean, it's about the Pope, I would imagine,
right? Yeah, but I don't know who the actors are. Fuck. I know that Sharon Stone was in this episode.
Okay.
So, well, that's it. That's all I knew.
So, y'all got to find a new show to watch together, or y'all back? Y'all just doing your own solo?
Yeah, we on our own shit. She on The Pope and High Fidelity.
Okay.
She like white people shows.
Hilarious.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, white people going through some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, all her shows be like white people in like some crazy ass situations.
I've been watching some of High Fidelity. At first, I thought it was only 4 episodes, the way they spaced it out. And I was cool with it just being 4 episodes. I was like, all right, maybe this should wrap itself up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all right. It's all right. It's not a, it's, I seen the movie, you know what I mean? So it's, and I haven't seen the movie in so long that, I forget exactly how faithful it is to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it. I like Zoe Kravitz a lot. I like homegirl. I think her name is Lil Devine. I forget her name, but shorty from Dolomite.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's mad funny. Shout out to my man Kevin Iso. I see him on a couple comics on there. Justin Tyler's on there. But some of that shit feel a little sentimental for a different audience. You know what I mean? Like, in the way, like,
other than you?
No, like, I'm thinking this is I don't know who the audience is, but I would imagine the audience is younger than me. I would imagine the audience is people that maybe didn't see the movie. There's probably, obviously, there's going to be people that saw the movie because there's the, you know, they invested. They're like, let me see what this is. But, like, just some of that shit, I don't think it translates to 2020. You know what I mean? We got a record store, like big ass record store.
Who paying that rent? But that's New York thing.
Yeah.
That's New Yorkers thinking like, right. Shit.
That shit. Hi, y'all niggas.
I ain't seen. I sat there and watched about 4 episodes. Three episodes with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't seen nobody pay for a record.
Nah.
I see somebody come in and trade some records in that they gave them some money. Her brother came in there a few times.
Right.
Just friends popping in.
I'm ready for that.
Did you?
Yeah, that actual scene too. That
which one?
The brother to trade for the records. I remember reading that whole.
You
shit
too black, dark. To
I'm a black
brother.
Nigga, but you know, hey.
Like she did.
Look, man, I'm
light bright.
You know, sometimes when I be getting these auditions for shit, I'm like, yo, this ain't gonna be. Wait, who's the, this? Ain't gonna really. But they like, nah, you should just go. You got to show your face anyway, because it's the whole thing is they feel like. The more you go, and I think it happens, you start to become, you build a little bit of a rapport with the casting agents and shit like that, and then they kind of think of you for other shit.
Right.
Because they start to be familiar with whatever. What I don't like, I'm not even mad at reading for some shit that I might not. I don't like the fact, because I'm not an actor like that. I don't like the fact with these, a lot of these auditions, you might not get the sides till like the day before. Mm-hmm. And it'd be 4 pages of lines. And I'm not that line learning motherfucker like that.
Right.
Even though I do use the Line Learner app. If you fucking trying to learn lines and shit like that, there's an app on the phone called Line Learner that's pretty ill.
The Line Learner app.
Line Learner app. Yeah. But that's how you just try to learn that shit like a song at that point. You know what I'm saying? It might not, you know. But, you know, you might not be all the way off book. That's the only thing that's like, that used to have me kind of feeling a certain type of way going into these auditions. I feel like I'm doing a book report on a book I didn't even read.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm half bullshit and I'm trying to steal a look at this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that ill.
That is acting.
That is acting. But there's a way, I'm talking about auditioning. Because there's a way, like, there are motherfuckers that'll get that shit 8 hours before the shit, and be off book the next day.
Right.
That ain't me. Like, I could kind of get close to being off book, or I could kind of understand the motivation here and know what I'm going to go with. No, at least the sides, right. I'll get through. But, but you know, I might still have to steal a glance. And I'm not that ill to where, like, there's certain actors, they could be doing their thing, steal a glance at the script, and not miss a stride. Right. It's almost back to the Damian Lillard shit, right. where it's like certain motherfuckers just know how to move with that shit.
They've been practicing that movement. Practicing comedy shit.
Yeah, so I'm looking at him, and then I'm reading my, I'm damn near on the screen like
looking like Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Damian Lillard and Damian Lemon.
There you go. Shout out to the Damians.
To the Damians.
There it is.
But you know what I'm saying? It's just like what I said, like some cats keep it on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if you know that's the business that you're trying to be in,
yeah,
it's like no matter what, you had to feel like, all right, whatever this shit is, I'm going to have my shit on and it's going to be showtime.
Yeah.
I might not be the best at the shit. I might not remember all the lines, but the lines that I do motherfucking remember,
sell them shit.
You're going to remember me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the fuck is the goal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like I said, you learn that from people who keep that shit on like that. Not on like internet on, like motherfuckers who be on the internet and talking they talk. I'm talking about like real life on people that could turn that shit on.
Yeah.
And have that shit on. And it's like my man in, on that conference call, man. You know what I'm saying? I need to be more like that. And yeah. I'm not like that. But now that I've seen it, I'm going to practice that shit. So when I do get in the situation again, I'm going to be like that.
It's a good skill to have.
You know what I'm saying?
Because that it's like throwing the ball deep. You know what I'm saying? Like you set it up for a nice. There's certain people that have that talent, that know how to connect people. They know how to introduce people to you to where mm-hmm. you feel like, okay, this is a person worth knowing. Right. In a way that's like, it's completely organic, so right. it seems.
Right.
They just know how to. They know how to hit the nice little points to make, and right. You know what I mean. Yeah, that's a skill.
The thing about it is, in real life, I do know how to do that, but I know how to do it on a, you know what I'm saying, like you know what I'm saying, on a person to person level, like without the fanfare, like very
right.
You know what I'm saying, my mouth to your ears type of shit. Nah, this is the dude, cause bling 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 bling, and then when the motherfucker did that. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker
yeah.
did this. And that's the nigga you need to know.
Well, you could do
and
that, it.
That's the type of shit I do. But that ain't showtime. That's like for people who know. You know what I'm saying? And that shit right there is like closed door situation type of talk. Yeah. I mastered the closed door situation behind the scenes as, you know what I'm saying? You know, this motherfucker who is a real motherfucker, I'm a real motherfucker, you need to know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the type of shit that I'm talking about, that's the type of shit you could walk anywhere and do that shit, not just in a closed door situation. You could open that bitch up and be like, listen, y'all.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. It's like basically when you're saying run back the writer's room. It's the difference between if you're talking to somebody that you got a shorthand with just because you talk mm-hmm. a lot and you say, oh, you would fuck with this person because you can yeah. even say some shit like that.
Right.
You would fuck with this person because right. of such and such.
Right.
And it's understood.
Right.
Whereas when you got to do a cold mm-hmm. intro to somebody that has no context and don't have the same little shorthand right. that you know what I mean, that you have with other people, you got to make it clear
right.
to somebody that is absolutely foreign to and make right. it urgent.
And I'm used to dealing with people who got the shorthand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not even dealing with that other shit.
Right.
I'm just shorthand motherfucker. Like, nigga, you know this shit, nigga.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, talk that talk yeah. to. You know what I'm saying?
But, yeah.
But when the people who succeed are able to do that regardless of the audience
mm-hmm.
and the listener.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you could Sherpa for anybody. Like me, I've been closed off in my Sherpering. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is for real niggas and shit. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
And we ain't about all that other shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That type of shit.
Because yeah,
that type of shit I come up under.
Uh-huh.
So I had to expand that and open it up. That's why my businesses have failed. Like the ones that I, like my magazine,
uh-huh.
21st Century Hustle. This shit for go-getters, awesome. Visionaries, moguls,
if you know, you know, shit.
You know yeah. what I'm saying? Entrepreneurs, go getters, visionaries, and moguls.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As regular motherfuckers, like, I ain't damn one of them. I don't know what the fuck he talking about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking too much shit in a closed loop.
Uh huh.
Therefore, you can't open it up. And I always say this shit, Hiram Hicks, who was a legendary record label person who was Puffy's manager at the time when I launched the magazine.
Drew Hill, too, right?
He discovered Drew Hill. Right. He was like a legendary record company dude.
He's still alive, right?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Oh, okay. You said it like he died.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, he not on the scene. It's okay. Not like he got the Instagram.
I was just being.
That's fucked up. He might have an Instagram. Yeah. But he probably don't have an Instagram. You know what I'm saying? That type of nigga.
Okay.
So he was like the man. Like he was up there in the record company business. But when my magazine came out, my homeboy gave it to him and asked him, you know what I'm saying, to take a look at it and let him know what he think. And he came back. He was like, oh, man, I like it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's all steak and no sizzle.
What's that? Explain that.
That means, you know what I'm saying, it got the important information, but he not making it look sexy. He not making people feel it. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying, it's just, you know what I'm saying, it's too closed loop. It's like what I'm saying. It's just for shorthand for the motherfuckers who know.
Mm-hmm.
But for people on the outside, they looking at it like, I might.
It's too niche.
It's too much. It's too much information in shorthand code that it's like, if I walked into a room at a college and I'm speaking motherfucking just street vernacular from the latest slang of my city and my block, you know what I'm saying? Blase skip in the third.
Right.
Niggas looking at you like, okay.
He seems cool, but
I didn't understand a thing he said.
Not connecting.
So,
how would you do it differently if you were to do that shit today?
Well, today, more people had to have that conversation. But the way I would do it now is I would open up the language to with the intention and the understanding of the everyday person that may need this information. You know what I'm saying? I was just looking at it from my own perspective of I have a certain amount of information and this is how it is, y'all. You either gonna change or you gonna be fucked up out here, man. That Social Security shit finna be gone. These jobs don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
You should shake the shit out these motherfuckers.
Yeah, it was fucked up because at the time, everything was good. Niggas was at their jobs, chilling, having a great time.
This is pre-recession.
Yeah, it's pre-recession. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? 2 years later, the recession hit. Niggas was like, God damn. Uh-huh. But you know what I'm saying? At the time, I had already alienated the motherfuckers I should have been talking to. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you should have been saying like, you know, bam, you in your spot. Make sure that you good in your spot, but keep your eye on a side thing. You
broaden
know
it out.
Broaden
a little
it
bit.
Out.
Right.
But like, man, fuck that shit what you doing, because nigga, that shit about to be a rap. Nigga, you need to get your shit on, get your mind on your hustle, nigga.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So it didn't fly too much with, you know what I'm saying, people who wasn't already on that vibe.
Right.
So
go.
I don't know why I started talking about that, but.
No, we was just talking about setting the table, basically.
Yeah.
How you trying to apply more of that in your neck and your new future endeavors.
Yeah, so in your space, you gotta make your presentation and your pitch appeal to people.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta put some show in your program.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, even at your motherfucking house. You know what I'm saying? I'm a parent. I'm a husband.
Right.
I'm a family guy.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Your fucking family will look right past your shit. All your fucking contributions.
Mm.
Because you're just doing them in earnest. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just doing my thing. Yeah. All of a sudden, food appears.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As long as the motherfucking phone ain't off.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers don't give a fuck about how much you had to pay that bitch. My shit like $500 a month.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Long as shit is moving, operating, nobody ain't giving a fuck how that shit operates.
You want to see how it works.
You know what I'm saying? Even in that part of your life, you have to put some showman into your situation.
Right.
It's like people remember them fathers who come home and like, hey y'all, shit, y'all wanna go to the movies and dinner tonight?
Right.
Yeah. Like that saying the motherfucking
thing. Have you done that? You done that before? Have you not done that?
No. You know what I'm saying?
Hello, kids.
The way the shit happened in my house is, Daddy, we hungry.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's go get something to eat.
Okay.
And then it's like, okay, we get something to eat. Nobody don't give a fuck.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But if you came home, you know you got to feed the motherfuckers.
Right.
So if you came home like, hey, y'all, guess what? What? We going to eat. Mm. Yay! Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's different. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, you know, yeah, that you got to take care of certain shit.
Right.
So a certain cats, it's like, you know what I'm saying? One of my homeboys, he got a cash business. You know right. what I'm saying? And what he do. Not, it's legal. Uh-huh. No, he got a cash business.
Got it.
So he always got a pocket full of money.
Right.
Because his business is cash.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he take his kids to get something to eat after school, it's like he pull out a pocket full of money.
Peel off the knot.
Peel off. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Daddy always got money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Me, you don't never see my shit. My shit go in the car, that shit just happen out of the blue, like poof.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And so it's even, so, yeah, go ahead.
So nobody pays attention to yeah. that shit cost money.
Right.
It's like, that shit just happened.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you got to put a little show into your shit. Maybe you do have to go peel off a few dollars, like, ha, ha, ha.
Right. You know some, what I'm saying? Yeah.
To let people know.
Some story.
That this shit is actually costing something.
Right.
And you actually produce this cash to make it happen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because motherfuckers will forget you
yeah.
in your fucking story.
Right.
So you have to make your story memorable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to put some show into your shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it might not be a pocket full of cash. It might be whatever. But you have to make a celebration out of things that may seem, that could be mundane.
Yeah. You gotta talk about the process yeah. while it's going on. Like, if you talk about parenting, like, I would see like TV parents and probably some regular parents too, but I can't think of anything like that mm-hmm. in particular. But I know like TV parents, and you know, you see in movies and shit in television, they'd be like, you know, my father always told me, you know, when one thing about business, you know, it was always like, my mother, when she would do this, she would always tell the story of da 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 da. It was always like, back to your whole thing about presentation, it was about, there was some nuggets, there was some narration to the process. Right. It wasn't just, yeah, nigga, the bills is paid. No, right. It was like, you know, well, what happened here to make this happen today? And you know what I mean? Because right. then people feel a little bit more invested.
Yeah, because, you know what I'm saying? You could go, you could do all that shit.
Yeah.
And then all you get is some kids later in life in therapy talking about the shit you didn't do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if you gave them more of a show.
Right. Some razzle dazzle.
Some shit that they could talk about other than some the shit you didn't do.
They don't talk about that shit too. This you know motherfucker saying? Would blow the most mundane shit out of the world. It'd be ridiculous. He'd be like, yo.
But they always remember that shit.
You ready to eat?
But you know what I'm saying? It's niggas,
yes!
It's niggas who handle their business, did they job,
right.
paid their child support
right.
every time, on time.
Yeah, man.
Ain't going to get no motherfucking credit for that shit.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? And it's fucked up. But yeah. It's just how people register shit.
Can't you live to, for the
you,
credit.
You got to. No, you can't live for the credit, but you can do it in the way where you can get some fucking credit.
You hope to get some credit. I mean, not even hope. You would hope that you just do a good job. You get what it is. And you hope that what you put out in the world is received and, you know, hopefully celebrated. Because honestly, you ain't really going, most of the time, niggas ain't going to really get the big credit until they dead. And that's if you get any credit
but,
at all.
But that's the whole point.
Like, what, you going to hold your breath?
The motherfucker who wins in history is the nigga who righted himself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He narrated his own shit.
He narrated his own shit. So you have to be a narrator in your shit.
Right.
So a lot of times you feel like I'm doing it. So yeah. I don't have to narrate this shit. You nah. motherfuckers see me over here working 12 fucking 14 hours right. a fucking day, sleeping at my motherfucking computer. But then you
that's
fucking,
just your function.
Then you fucking die. All he did was work at his computer.
He was never around.
You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck you mean? All I did was work at my computer.
I didn't know what he did. You know that's what the saying? Crazy shit. He didn't know what you did. Yeah.
So you have to put some show in your shit. You have to razzle dazzle. You have to. You know what I'm saying? It's like right. like people always talk about with your wife. You know what I'm saying? You got to stay dating your wife.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's some shit where
it's true.
It's true. And it's like you feel like shit. We just went on a date.
Right.
But it was just like you came home and she came home. What you doing? I ain't doing nothing.
Right.
Want to go to the movies? Okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you go to the movies and you come home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That shit ain't how you did in the beginning, or that shit ain't how you would do if you was trying to razzle dazzle the world. Motherfucker.
It's not as intentional.
You know what I'm saying?
I think sometimes I think I would look at it sometimes. And retro, unfortunately, this is, you gotta keep the shit going. Because oftentimes when you get them how you, you know what I mean, you keep them how you catch them, right? Or whatever, you know what I mean? Like that, but I just, for sake of a better right, adage. Nah, but it's just like, if you saying the fly shit when y'all first get together and all of that shit, you know what I'm saying? You gotta keep saying the fly shit. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes I used to look at the fly shit as G. You know what I mean? And on a certain level, it is G. So
what's G?
Just game. Oh, you know what I mean? just you know what I mean? Like it depends on how you process game. Mm-hmm. It depends on how you process game. I guess it comes down to, you know, your intentions. Some people use game as just throwaway. They saying what they just say. They just talking out there. They saying some slick shit to you know, arouse the situation to keep it moving to get a desired effect. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. But at the same, and I think there's sometimes there could be the correlate, not the correlation, but sometimes it could be looked at as manipulative, right? But it's not always, it's not manipulative, it's intentional.
It's intent.
It's like, but I think honestly for a while I would see that shit and was, I don't even matter say manipulative, but like manipulative or just you just saying it to say it. Mm-hmm. But nah, you saying it because it needs to be said. Yeah, exactly. It needs to be said, that's the thing.
Exactly, and shit man, I've been.
And if it goes unsaid, it's noticed.
Right, it's noticed. And then that's what it becomes. Nothing. Unsaid.
Yeah.
Unsung, uncelebrated. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Unrecognized.
Yeah, man.
I've been married 20 years. This weekend, I'll make 20 years. You know what I'm saying?
That's
we celebrate
dope.
Our anniversary.
Bing, 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 bing.
You know what I'm saying? And I've been doing it wrong.
Hey, man.
You know what I'm saying? I've been doing it right to keep it together.
Yeah.
I've been doing it right to get along. Uh-huh. I've been doing it right. In the way that, you know what I'm saying, making shit to the where that it's secure enough to be stable in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing it wrong in the way that I haven't brought the shine to the
right.
I haven't brought the sparkle. You know what I'm saying? I haven't even considered the sparkle and the fucking sizzle and all that shit in your day to day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you consider it on birthdays and on holidays.
Yeah.
But in your day to day, you have to consider your whole fucking shit.
Yeah.
You got to be the puff daddy of your whole shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't, you just become nobody in your own shit.
It's like you just don't lotion yourself.
You ashy Larry
ashy
in your own fucking relationship.
Yeah, man.
So now I came to an epiphany.
What's that?
Not too far ago. Not
okay.
too long ago.
Okay.
It's just that I gotta put some show into my shit. I gotta make sure, because now you planning your 20th anniversary and shit.
Okay.
And then, you know what I'm saying, you got kids' birthdays coming up, and then your kids getting old. They about to be grown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got a daughter.
Right.
That's 11.
Right.
That needs to be shown some razzmatazz.
Right.
Before she go out in the world. Or you gonna get outclassed by the niggas in the streets. My daughter is 11 years old.
Right.
She has a suitor in the world.
Wow.
A little guy at a school. He been around since kindergarten. It's like, what's my man name on Cosby Show? It's like Bud.
Okay.
Like Bud.
Okay.
He been around. He been in a class, you know what I'm saying, since kindergarten.
Wow, he's always liked her?
I'm not,
were they just cool and now
cool.
He like her?
Okay. He cool, now he like her or whatever. Uh-huh. And Valentine's Day came.
Uh-oh, he showed out.
He showed out.
What'd he do?
He did more than me I did in my whole situation.
This motherfucker, what'd he do?
He bought her a fucking necklace and some earrings.
Wow.
And a fucking box of candies and a card where he professed his whole fucking shit.
Wow.
A motherfucking, some other shit.
Uh-huh. What your daughter think?
I mean, she came home smiling, like, hee hee, ooh la ha, taking pictures of her shit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? See, my wife was trying to get me going like I was,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
look
I'm a bad daddy, like I'm,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, I ain't tripping on that shit. It's natural. It's natural progression.
Mm-hmm.
She's a cute girl. You know what I'm saying? She's going to have suitors.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I expect that. You
okay.
know what I mean? But what it did, it's like, yo, you got to step your whole shit right, up. Like, right. Not Valentine's Day step up, but life. Like, yo, everyday life. Because, you know what I'm saying? She's going to grow up.
Right.
And, you know, motherfuckers is going to be doing shit like that. And what have you done besides just take care of it and buy shit and buy shit unceremoniously? You know what I'm saying? Like, every time you do some shit, you have the option of just doing it mundane and it's right. done or ceremoniously. You got your choice. You know what I'm saying? You could be like, hey, listen, this is what we going to do today. What we going to do, daddy?
Right.
Let's go shopping. Yeah. Hey!
Yeah.
Or you could be like, I want these jeans. That no, yeah. not today. We got to wait. Yeah. And then when it do come, the time do come, like, all right, now let's go get them shits and get them. Come on. Don't look at shit else in this store. Let's go. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's all the context.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's just the perspective.
Right. And yeah. you did it. You did the same shit.
Yeah.
But you had all this other energy on
it
top of it.
It didn't feel the same way.
It didn't feel like it was a moment when right. it could have easily been a moment.
Because you make the moment.
You make
it. You make the moment. You can't wait for the moment to be made.
Right.
You make that
You
shit.
Make it. You going to take her to go shopping anyway. Either you could come in and say, hey, let's go shopping.
Right.
Or you could be like, all right, God damn. Yeah. Not right now. Let's go at fucking 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 4 o'clock come. You ready? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's what daddies do. Because you got shit to do to pay for this motherfucking shopping spree.
Yeah, and it's often society kind of let fathers get away with that a little bit more because it's like they're the breadwinner, you know, patriarch, you know, just in
per se,
in,
right?
Per se, just in historically and whatever, whatever, right? So that, oh yeah, your father, you know, the father that's always just getting the bills paid or whatever, right. whatever, right. comes home tired, goes, hello,
right, right.
you know what I mean? And it's whatever, where it's like, it's up to the mother
right.
to be the one that's like, all right,
let's
got,
celebrate,
you know what
guys.
I mean?
Let's yeah. See, we got to stop that. Man, we have to break that little thing that we've been shown that you got to be the brooding dad, you
right.
know what I'm saying, counting all the pennies. Motherfucker, right. you made 4 eggs in your omelet. What the fuck? That's $2 worth of eggs, goddammit.
It's a different type of cynicism that men have.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, look at this nigga. Oh, happy ass motherfucker. Like, but you should be. You should be happy about what you're doing because you're inspired by your life.
Right.
But it'd be a lot of motherfuckers like, look at you, man. Oh, what are you smiling so crazy for? What is this? All he did.
Right. And
nah, man. Live
and
it.
And in real life, though, as of that same narrative that we see of the pops that's always trying to keep it under control and, you know what I'm saying, complaining about the
they be
cost.
Dying. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
51.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But that same narrative, everybody else got that same narrative too. Your wife done got that narrative, your kids, but it's in the opposite direction to where it's like, you know, they expect that shit from you. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to even see you happy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not that they don't consciously don't want to see you happy, but if daddy come home, he just smiling and shit. You happy about some shit you did out in the world. Ha ha, shit, I killed this shit, nigga. Ha ha!
It's different.
Then they looking at you like, what the fuck? He's so happy about it. Then right. they give you a reason not to be happy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Subconsciously, they throw some shit at you, turn your whole smile upside down.
Because they not used to
they
you
not
being
used
happy.
To it. That's not the narrative that they've been taught.
Right.
It's like, so
that's the thing with changing the narrative.
And that smile has nothing to do with the shit that you brought to them. It's
right.
the shit that in the world that you came from the world with. You came from the world like, shit, I done won. I ain't got that shit done. I done got the motherfucking check. I'm chilling in this bitch.
Right.
Nah, you supposed to take that same energy and come in and give them a reason to be
right.
happy as well.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can remain happy.
Right.
But if not, they going to make their shit frown. That's why I used to see all the old men, like the men around the way and shit, always be outside cutting their grass and shit with that fucking frown. And be like, damn, why the motherfucker so mad? They always cutting that grass every motherfucking day.
Yeah.
Because he done went in the house smiling and shit. And they done ran his ass outside with that fucking frown. Like, motherfucker, did you do this, though? Did you do that? Motherfucker like, you know what? I'm going to beat y'all to the punch. I'm going to go cut my grass.
Mm.
Y'all turn this lawnmower on, and I can't hear y'all motherfuckers, okay? With the motherfucking frown. You know what I'm saying? So you have to get ahead of that.
Yeah.
And come in that bitch with the sparkles. And you can't do the shit every day, but on the occasion, they have to remember that you brought the motherfucking live to the house. You the Puff Daddy of your house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
People happy when you come through.
Yeah, you gotta be the Puff Daddy of your own house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
take that.
You know what I'm saying? This is what we do. Can't stop, won't stop, baby. Ha ha ha. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, your kids gotta feel that shit. You know what I'm saying? They gotta be Harlem shaking right next to you. Yeah. You would come in that motherfucker, everybody start Harlem shaking.
With no publishing.
No publishing. Well, we ain't gonna do them like that. God damn.
And I didn't do them like that. Anyway. Oh shit, man. Speaking of shaking and being in the world, where you gonna be at this week?
Hey man, I'm gonna be in New Orleans.
Oh shit.
Mardi Gras. Doing some shit on the Zulu Ball, which is the biggest, from what I understand, the biggest Mardi Gras ball. Social club. You know what I'm saying? 15,000-20,000 motherfuckers come out.
Yeah.
Go to their ball. So we doing a little mini documentary on that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'll be out there this weekend, and then I'll be back right here in the same space, same time. You know what I mean?
Should be dope, man.
Yeah, yeah. I fucks with New Orleans. It's like its own country.
Yeah.
And you know, they got their own culture. And I've always seen the Zulu thing. The first time I went to New Orleans, we interviewed somebody and they were talking about the Zulu situation, the Zulu ball and the Zulu social club. So to be able to cover it and actually see it intimately and be in the middle of it is going to be dope.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's fire. Yeah, man.
And then I'm coming back home and flying right back for my anniversary.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I ain't bullshitting, fucking around with these people. Getting the fuck out.
Yeah. Put some some puffy in that.
Take that on it.
Pizzazz on it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up, man. Shit, I'm in these streets. I'll be a stand up New York on the 22nd on the 8 and 10 o'clock, and I might have a few other shows that might pop up throughout the thing. If so, I'll let y'all know via social media. Also on Instagram and everywhere else, D Lemon Comedy. And for all the dates and what's going on, DamianLemon.com.
Word.
Until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Aha. We out.